Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
The Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm a broken vessel here to serve. Father, I pray that whatever word you have for your people today, that you would just bring it through the words that I say. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct the service. In Jesus' name, amen. So there was this atheist who was complaining to a Christian friend of his. You Christians have special holidays, such as Christmas and Easter, and Jews celebrate their national holidays, such as Passover and Yom Kippur. But we atheists have no recognized national holidays. And that's just unfair discrimination. So his Christian friend replied, "Why don't you just celebrate April 1st? I thought that was pretty good. Hey, it's a lot of work coming up with an opening joke, so. So I'm titling this message this morning as Strangers in a Strange Land. And I couldn't help but think of our very own strange family as I was preparing this, just because I think you guys must hear it all the time, strange. And I thought, you know, being a stranger in a strange land. Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives, so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." What a timely message. That's from 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. That was I read that from the Message version of that scripture, but that is God's word to us. I was thinking, you know, I've done a lot of traveling this last month, you know, as in thinking about what is the word that God would have for us today, this idea of being a stranger in a strange land. Just kind of popped out at me. And to be honest with you, this scripture is the first one that jumped out. It was almost random that I found it, and I read it. And I'm like, that's the message. That's the message right there. What else can I say beyond what that is telling us right now, especially in this time that we're living? But of course, I have more time to fill, so I'm going to try to add on to just that message. Have you ever felt like a stranger? Can you think of a situation you were in or a place you traveled to where you just felt like you didn't fit in? I'll never forget my trip to India. I've talked about it before. I was in a place where, in general, people looked like me, but almost everything else was different. They talked different. They acted different. They ate different. They lived different. Almost everything else was different. And my first impression when I got there was a feeling of not belonging, was a feeling of wanting to go home. But then a wonderful thing happened. I was surrounded by my family in India, family that I'd never met, but family nonetheless. They surrounded me, cared for me. Through acts of kindness and generosity, they made me feel welcome. They made me feel more at home, even in the strange land. I was a stranger in a foreign land, but I was able to live for those couple weeks in that land, surrounded by family who understood where I was coming from. Even though we had never met before, the family bond was strong. And I could walk through that foreign land with confidence that I was not alone. Even though we talked different, acted different, believed different, we were family. And at the end of the trip, I still wanted to go home, but it wasn't from a desire of wanting to flee a foreign place. It was a desire to return home with the satisfaction of connecting with my family in India. Shortly after my return, I had the opportunity to host my cousin and her family in the United States with her first trip to the United States. I helped make her experience here in a foreign land more comfortable. You know, we are strangers in this world, but we walk together as family, as believers. You know, more and more lately, especially, I've felt like a stranger in this world. How about you? The messages that I'm hearing call me all kinds of names. They say all kinds of things about me that just simply aren't true. This world seems to be creating a brand new definition of love and hate, of tolerance and acceptance, of peace and happiness. And it is critical that we as believers stand together and support one another. We must demonstrate to the world around us what it means to be God's family. It's not about us versus them. We're not fighting to claim this world. We are inviting others to join with us in the celebration for when he returns. Amen. In December 2013, a couple and four children survived two nights of sub-zero temperatures in Nevada's high desert after their Jeep rolled into a remote mountain ditch. Rescuers say that a series of good choices enabled the group to survive without frostbite or injuries, despite temperatures that dropped to 21 degrees below zero. Above all, the group stuck together and stayed by their overturned Jeep, which rescuers were looking for. Paul Burke, Nevada's search and rescue coordinator, told Associated Press that sticking together was key to their survival, and not all that common. Rather than strike out and search for help, the family started a fire, which they kept burning throughout the ordeal. CNN reported that rescuers were most impressed by the family's improvisation. They used the fire to heat up rocks, which they placed inside their spare tire to keep the children warm as they huddled inside the car at night. The kids ranged in age from 3 to 10 years old. The family also set out well-equipped for the weather, with thick winter clothes, plenty of water, and some food, and they had told relatives where they were going. This enabled rescuers to narrow the search area to still vast 6,000 square miles. It was combed over by 200 people. Though the area had no cell phone reception, Associated Press reported that a cell phone forensic team was able to advise rescuers by tracking the towers their phones had been in touch with along the way. pretty, the story just struck me about a family. You know, you can almost picture it, a family sticking together through a difficult and trying situation. And you think of analogies that can apply from just that real life story to how we as believers, how critical it is for us to stick together, for us to be prepared, for us to plan, for us to let others know the path that we're on. How critical is it for us to be family in this time? We as a family of God need to stick together and be prepared for anything that comes our way. And we walk together with purpose. You know, I love meeting a stranger who turns out to be a Christian. It's almost like you know the secret handshake, right? It's almost like no matter who they are, you find out they're a Christian and there's a connection. There's something there. There's a familiarity. And it's amazing how I get that feeling without first having to quiz them as to what denomination they belong to. Where do you stand on these 5 points of doctrine? You know, there's an instant connection before you even get into all that. It is the connection of being Christian, having faith in Jesus Christ, that instantly identifies our family members. We need to walk together and be examples to the dying world around us. Because we are not an exclusive family. Rather, we welcome anyone to join us. We're not part of a family that excludes anybody. But rather, we're a family that demonstrates the love of Jesus, the open arms that he has, receiving in anyone who needs to come in. See how good and how pleasing it is for brothers to be living together in harmony, Psalms 133:1. Our society has an increasingly negative view towards Christians. Christian values and beliefs are being attacked on every level. The world rejects objective morality. They reject the very notion that something can be absolutely right or absolutely wrong. When you remove the source of morality, you make what is wrong subjective to what man, acting as God, determines it should be. This is an issue of faith, and rational, logical argument can have little effect on changing somebody's faith. Faith runs much deeper than just the academic argument about what it is. Changing someone's faith is something that words alone can't do. I remember I was talking with a friend of mine who's a judge, and we got into a conversation about creation, about Christianity, and he got into, you know, how basically Christians are, you know, the whole thing is nonsense, that, you know, there is no God. God didn't create everything. That's just, you know, make-believe. And I asked him, well, what do you believe? He's like, well, I don't know. I mean, science says that, you know, we evolved, and, you know, he really doesn't know what he believes. And so I said, well, it comes down to faith, right? You have faith in something, and I have faith in something. You have faith that we came from evolution, or you have faith in not knowing and not caring about how we came to be is just good enough. that somehow you just cease to exist. That's a faith, you know, albeit a pretty dismal one. And, you know, and I said, you know, at the end, I guess, you know, what harm does it have that I have faith in God? You know? Because in the end, you know, one of us is going to be right and one of us is going to be wrong. And I think that simple conversation, I think, started to spin the wheels a little bit about, okay, there is faith. You know, everyone has faith.
That's right.
It doesn't, you know, they may not recognize it as faith, but you have faith in a lot of things. We act by faith every day, right? Like I said, I did a lot of traveling. I have a lot of faith. Everyone that gets on the airplane has faith, right? They have faith that the thing is going to go up in the air and safely come back down. When you get in your car, you have faith. You act by faith without thinking about it that you're going to be able to get to your destination safely. We operate on faith, Christian or non-Christian. It's part of who we are. It's part of how we operate. The question is, what is their faith in? There's two, kind of separated this into two parts when addressing this issue. Two parts in how we are supposed to act or behave as Christians in reaching the lost. First, the first part, I'm going to reference 1 Peter 2:12. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. This said another way, live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side. The way you live your life speaks volumes about who you are. As I mentioned, many labels are thrown at us. Accusations are made as to who we are as Christians based upon prejudices, misunderstandings, misinterpretations. It's not your arguments that overcome those prejudices, but your good deeds that cannot be refuted. It's interesting. So many friends of mine, you know, I'm at the tail end of a little cold here. So many of my friends, you know, I'm on Facebook, and I don't. It's one of those things. Some of you are, some of you aren't. I stay on it just because I feel like if I'm not, then it's hard for some people to connect with me. But I read, and it's aggravating. You read your news feed there, and people just spew out these things about Christians, about, you know, everything from politics to, you know, and I think about, and I'm like, these are some, a lot of these people are my actual friends in real life, not just Facebook friends. And I think, you know, I know that person couldn't look me in the face and call me those things, because they know me. And they know my deeds. And they know how I am. And so they're not thinking. They're just not thinking. Because they're not true. But it's because of the way that I live my life with them that I can say, you know that's not true. Because forget the argument. I don't engage in those arguments whatsoever. But my deeds speak for who I am as a Christian. Your faith in action ministers to the lost around you. Rather than argue with somebody, why don't you watch me live? That should be the message that we bring to those around us, to those that don't know Christ. I'm not going to, first step, remember I'm doing two steps here. The first step, watch me live. Just watch me live. As a Christian, you have the Lord living in you. He has given you a new heart and a new mind. You have the mind of Christ. You are no longer dead in your sins and no longer a slave to your sin. 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. It is important how you live your life, the life that other people around you see, the life that your children and your family see. Therefore, you wage war against the sinful desires of your flesh. You are called to abstain from those sinful desires. God says that we are called out of the world to be sanctified, to be holy. However, it isn't easy to abstain from sinful desires. Though the Lord is dwelling in you, and though you now have the mind of Christ, you still have a sinful nature. Therefore, you are at war with yourself. Paul said in Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, but what I hate, I do. And also in Romans 7:21-25, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not always easy to walk our Christian faith. It is not only the outward pressures that trip us up, but our inward struggle to satisfy the flesh. This is yet another reason why we need to walk together, to help strengthen and encourage one another. And when I say that we need that, I'm talking about us in this room on this Sunday, us as a family, we need to do this together. That just applies to all Christians. I sincerely want to address this group that's here today. So, first step is demonstrating, walking out, showing the way we live. Then comes the second part. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. When we start to win hearts through our example, we then need to be prepared to answer the questions that follow. It's not just about the first part, living your life and showing how you live, but the second part is being able to respond to the questions that are going to come. We are living in a time where the average person will struggle to answer the question, what does it mean to be human? From ancient secular philosophy to the modern humanist on any university campus, there is a complete absence of any concrete definition of who we are. Why does this struggle exist? There's one simple reason. To borrow a quote, when we were in the earliest days of the dawn of the created order, there was only one restriction. Only one restriction. With all of the possibilities, one restriction. Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? Do not play God. What is wrong with the direction of our culture? Man is declaring themselves to be the self-referencing point of all absolutes. And when the time comes that man realizes they are not God, we as believers must be prepared to answer their questions as to why we have the hope that is alive within us. This term apologetics, and it comes from the Greek word, and forgive me, Greek scholars in the room, apologia, which I understand to mean to give an answer. Simply put, to give an answer. You know, I so much enjoy the weekly Bible study that we have. I so much appreciate Jim and his teaching in that study. It's not just for the fellowship that I enjoy it, but I want to learn God's word. I appreciate the opportunity to get up and speak on a Sunday morning. Not just because I like to get up and talk to you, but it forces me to be prepared by getting into God's word and learning God's word. Beyond just reading on my own, to gather together to dig into the word, to gain understanding, helps build my faith. And I know helps build our faith. I would encourage each of you here to take time on a regular basis to dig into God's word. You know, this last couple weeks for me, it's between the travel and being sick and everything else, and we got a puppy. It's another story. I even told Sarah the other day, I'm like, you know, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it when I'm thinking of, you know, speaking on Sunday. And it's not saying that I don't feel like it, but I just, you know, to know what I had to do in order to prepare. But I did it. Man, how refreshing it is. It changes your mindset. It changes your attitude to just dig into the word, to learn, to prepare. It really affects you. Not just in your understanding and knowledge, but just even physically. Your outlook, your perspective changes. We walk through this muddy, dirty world every day. And to wake up and to just gain a little bit of that encouragement, to know that you are amongst a family of believers who at the very same time could be digging into the same word and gaining the same encouragement together as family, it really changes everything. It changes your outlook. It changes your ability to cope with whatever happens to you that day. It gives you the ability to provide answers to the lost who may come asking you questions. You know, I'll never forget sitting with a friend at work years ago, and we were working late. And up until that point, I don't believe that I had ever in any way preached to him, shared scripture with him, challenged him on anything, just simply was a friend to him. And as we sat there at work, out of nowhere, seemingly, he looks at me and he says, "What does the Bible say about forgiveness? Can anybody be forgiven for anything?" Like, wow, what an open door. What an open door. Out of nowhere, I'm telling you, when I say it's out of nowhere, it was out of nowhere. And I shouldn't say out of nowhere. I'd been a friend, lived my life. He sees how I live. And the Holy Spirit was able to work in that situation to cause him to ask the question. Had I just simply approached him from day one and said, "Hey, guess what? The Bible says this about forgiveness. You can be forgiven for anything." That's going to probably end the relationship right there. But he came with the question. You know, it's so easy. And, you know, I don't think that we're necessarily in... There are a lot of things unique about the time we live because it's the present. Everything is new, right? But the whole thing with, you know, political debates and positions on issues and stuff, those things have been happening since the beginning of time. But it doesn't make them not relevant. And, you know, I see people engage in this battle, discussion, back and forth. And it's a very, how many of you have been in a frustrating argument? You argue and argue. I mean, I argue for a living. Believe me, I've been there many times where you're arguing and arguing and you believe you're right. You believe they're wrong. And no matter what you say, you just can't get through. Same thing on the other side. No matter what they say, they're not getting through to me. It's a very frustrating and oftentimes fruitless and divisive practice to engage in that kind of argument. Because keep in mind our end goal. Keep in mind where we're going. We're going home. We are on a journey and we're going home. And these petty arguments along the way, these things that seem so important to us now are irrelevant at home. You hear that saying, you know, home is where the heart is? Is that true? Next time you have the opportunity to engage somebody, "Oh, I'm going to show them." Think about where your heart is. Think about going home. And think about whether or not you want that person to come home with you. And then decide if it's really important. What can you do to show that person God's love? To demonstrate the family of God? What can you do that might cause them to ask you a question as opposed to challenge you on an issue? There's a difference, you know, you can get baited by questions, right? There's a difference between the question that's just trying to draw you out to fight and the question from an actual place of, "I really want to know. I know you have something better. I know that there's something good about what you have, and I want to know, what is that hope you have? What is it? Can you explain it to me? Can you tell me? Because I want some of that in my life. Can I live like that? Can I have what you have?" Those are the questions that you want to be prepared to answer. Because then, when you tell them, "This is the hope I have," then they can decide whether they accept or reject it. But they know they've asked the question because of the demonstration that you have made in their life. The good deeds that you have done. Not the positions you have taken. Not the arguments that you have made. we know that our dwelling place is in heaven. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also." The Bible talks about our Lord Jesus, our King, who rules from heaven. We are citizens of heaven. And we will join him there when he returns, or when we die, whichever comes first. So, I would like to encourage my family. Be patient and loving in this world to the unbelievers. Let them see your good deeds so that you may glorify God on the day that he returns. Be prepared to give answers to tough questions. Walk together through this land with other believers, strengthening and encouraging one another along the way. 2 Corinthians 13:11, and I'll close with this scripture. "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." I make that our prayer today. Let's take opportunities to walk together. Let's take opportunities to encourage one another. Let's take opportunities to spend time together, to draw strength from each other, to teach each other. Let's truly walk as Christians, as brothers and sisters, together on a journey to our home. Let's demonstrate God's love and faithfulness. Let's be prepared to answer the questions that are asked of us so that others will join us along the way. Lord, help us to be open and inviting, to truly show who you are through our good deeds. Lord, help us not to engage in fruitless argument, but Lord, be prepared to answer questions through the wisdom that you give us through your word. Help us to speak truth. Help us to know truth. Lord, help us to give answers to the hope that we have. And Lord, help us to walk as if we are people that have hope. Not with our heads down, but with our heads looking up, seeking strength and guidance from you. Lord, regardless of the situation that we're in, Father, help us to keep our eyes on home and help us to walk this path as you would have us walk it. Help us to be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.